I'm always so amazed. Christmas is a time of the year, and I think about all that transpired during this momentous time that changed the course of creation. How many know when Christ was born, it changed the whole direction of mankind? Mankind went from being serving God that they didn't know. As a matter of fact, 400 years of silence before this all took place, nobody had heard a fresh word from God. Nobody saw any angels. Nobody saw that we know of. The church at that time, the pre-Christ church, was so divided. Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Sadducees did not. That's why they were called Sad, you see. Just a bad joke. But The whole thing was they were so divided, so divisive, that there was infighting all the time. There was 360-some laws added to the Ten Commandments. There was confusion. The scribes of the time, those that wrote the transcripts and the Torah and the others, those that took from one language to the next, they were prideful people. So there was fighting. There was division. Annas and Caiaphas were ruling in the Sanhedrin at that time, father and son, and they were more political than they were religious. They were friends with Rome, and they made lots of concessions. And so there was divisiveness within the world, and it's not unlike what we're growing more and more like in this hour. And it's sad to see, even in this last couple of weeks, because of some articles that have come out, there's divisiveness within the body of Christ as to whether we should support or not support our current administration. One of the biggest magazines, Christian magazines, Christianity Today, came out calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump. At least the editor did anyway. And so there's been harsh words back and forth by Dr. James Dobson. His wasn't harsh, but he spoke to that. Franklin Graham spoke to that. And so divisiveness is running high right now. And Christians that are trying to win the favor of our current administration, I believe, can make a mistake if we go too far political, not enough citizens of heaven. Come on, somebody. We're Christians and we're first citizens of the kingdom. We have dual citizenship. I believe in this, that we're part of this nation. I'm patriotic. But I can tell you what, when it comes down to it, I'm going to be a citizen of heaven first. So there's a lot of parallels that are drawn. It's been a long time since we saw a mighty move of God in this nation. There's been pockets of it. There may have been personal revivals that you've experienced. But as far as a large move of God, we haven't seen it in a long time. We're divisive. We fight about when Christ is coming back. We fight about whether there's gifts today. We fight about whether there's miracles today. And we, as I said, we're trying to be political. So I believe God is announcing to us it's time to get back to the basics. See? Time to get back to the basics of what God sent His only Son for. And it was genius. You know, I can't talk about Christmas that I'm not thinking about the people that God chose to speak to. If I were God, I'd have spoke to some important people so I'd get the word out. He didn't do that. He spoke to shepherds. Come on, someone. Zacharias, an old guy, an old priest. He hadn't done the incense one time in his life. He'd get to do incense on the altar. The only time he did it when he got in there, he was struck speechless. For 9 months. Think about that. Rotation came. He was too old to bear children. Him and his wife were too old to bear children. He goes in to put the incense on the altar. The angel of the Lord appears to him, Gabriel, and says, I'm Gabriel, and I'm going to tell you you're going to have a son. He said, it's impossible. I'm too old to have a son. He said, I'm standing in the presence of God. You know this story. So the presence of God... That's Siri. She wanted to get her 2 cents in. So the presence of God came through that whole issue. How many know the presence of God has never left the earth since then? Since the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, just about a year and a half later, Christ was born. And by that time, God had spoken to Mary, God had spoken to Joseph. A bunch of shepherds were in a field, and the angel of the Lord appears to them and announces peace on earth, goodwill towards men, choir of angels singing. How many know those shepherds, and I've talked about it much, but those shepherds for the next 30 years, you couldn't shut them up, didn't want to talk to them. Shepherds only wanted to talk about one thing. I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. And they were a bane to most people's existence, I believe, until Jesus came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they said, there he is. There's the one that we worshiped in the manger. Come on, someone. So I believe while we can be discouraged about the time and the seasons that we're in, I think we need to be very encouraged, because God's getting ready to do something powerful. I believe that. You know, the world has become such a small place. No longer do people have to travel to go to conferences. Everything's done through, I use Zoom a lot. I talk to other apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers in a place called Zoom. Anybody use Zoom here in the room? Video conferencing, Cisco, WebEx. It's a small world. Anytime news starts, everybody can get the news. Come on, someone. But I wonder if we've forgotten the most important news of all. Jesus is coming. How many know he's coming? If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning, read a very familiar part of Scripture. I've made it no mystery that I'm a kind of a bah humbug guy when it comes to Christmas, only because Jesus is not in the manger anymore, and he's not a little innocent baby, and I don't like the fact that the world sees him as a little innocent baby. Every year, we thank God for the baby. How many know he's not in the manger? He's not on the cross. He's not beaten and broken. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Sits in perfection in the heavenlies right now. Yes. And while it's nice that we celebrate this, we should remember who he is. But here in Luke chapter 2, and I'm beginning in verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at all those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, and what a way to upend the whole world. The whole world began then to change to where it is today. Jesus has become, for all intents and purposes, a household name. Although he's maligned, misunderstood, and even hated, how many know just in most sectors of the world, the name Jesus is known? And it started with this little announcement in the middle of nowhere to a bunch of shepherds. Forget the fact that the channels for fast delivery of such news that was this important were ignored. God did not go to somebody influential. He went to a bunch of shepherds. Shepherds were not educated. They were the off-scouring. They were like the garbage collectors maybe of today. Didn't take any skill. Nobody liked them. They smelled. They were off by themselves. But God chose to announce to them the birth of Christ. Forget the fact that they were forgotten, and the rich were shunned with this, and the royals were shunned, passed over. The time would come when the whole world would know, but the announcement was to those group of people. And you know, as the falling away has happened in the last decade or so, the people that are hanging on to God may not be the most famous, the most rich, the most influential, but we're citizens of heaven that are awaiting the return of our Lord. There was a great purpose for this, of course. The redemption was declared for God's creation. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. It set in motion what ended up being the ousting of Satan from heaven. It took the authority from the powers of darkness and gave it once again to mankind. In short, it was the reintroduction of kingdom rule offered once again to mankind. History was split right in half at this angelic announcement. And matter of fact, we judge everything before Christ and after His birth. It split history. And its effects can still be known today. Take the year 1809, just an example. The international scene was tumultuous. Napoleon, in that year, was sweeping through Austria, and there was blood was flowing freely. There was a mighty war there. Nobody cared about babies at that time. But some significant births took place in 1809. William Gladstone was born that year. He was destined to become one of England's finest statesmen. Alfred Lord Tennyson was born to an obscure minister and his wife. The child one day would affect the literary world like few of his time. Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and not far away in Boston, Edgar Allan Poe was born, lived a tragic, short life. It was also in that same year that a physician named Darwin and his wife named their child Charles. And that same year produced the cries of a newborn infant in Kentucky, Hardin County, Kentucky. The baby's name was Abraham Lincoln. If there had been broadcast at that time like we have today, probably the words would have been, the destiny of the world is being shaped on the fields of Austria. But history was actually being shaped in the cradles of England and America. When Christ was born, taxation was the big news. All the Jews had to go back to the cities of their origin, of their family origin. That was the big news everywhere. Matter of fact, that's the whole reason the crowded place where Christ was born, the whole thing. But the biggest news of that moment was, of course, the birth of Christ. What an announcement. The angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. This wasn't just an announcement with a flashlight. This was the glory of God. All these things are familiar to us. But I want to remind us what happened at that time. The kingdom of God, with all of its covenantal promises, was introduced to mankind through this event. So the scriptures say the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The manifest glory of God changes everything. Well, you know, we like to say God is everywhere. Tell your neighbor, God is everywhere. But the manifest glory of God very rarely has taken place on this earth. But when it happens, it changes the course of history. And this is not unlike the other events. at the burning bush when Moses saw the manifest glory of God. How many know it turned a whole nation? Come on, it turned a whole nation another way. At Mount Sinai, when Israel was delivered out of Egypt, the glory of God was on the mountain. The mountain shook so much, and the glory of God, the fire and the burning on top of the mountain, that it scared men to death. Moses was so afraid, he didn't even want to go up to the mountain. The manifest glory of God. That's the same glory that appeared to these shepherds on this announcement. We read it so glibly almost, like there was an angel standing there. No, the glory of God, the manifest glory of God that hadn't been seen for ages came to earth at that moment. The tabernacle of meeting. When Moses had the tabernacle in the midst of the tribes, the glory of God was seen by 2.5 million people every day. And they maybe even took it for granted sometimes, but the pillar of fire and the cloud was there. The glory, the manifest glory of God was among his people. Then in Solomon's temple, when Solomon finally finished the temple that his father had prayed to build, the years and years that it took to finish that temple, you can read in Chronicles, when the temple was finished, the manifest glory of God came in the temple, and the presence was so powerful that the priests could not minister. Nobody could stand. They were all on their face in this manifest glory. That was the same glory of God that appeared to the shepherds. Now, I want to get personal a minute. When God came into your life, the manifest glory of God came to you. Come on, someone. Maybe it's a little, your memory's lapsing a little bit. But how many know when Jesus came into your life, everything changed? Amen. Now, just a little responsibility that we need to carry with us from this service, I hope today, that the manifest glory of God dwells in me. Turn to somebody and say, the manifest glory of God dwells in you. Now, it may not look like it. We may not act like it. We may not talk like it. There may be divisions. There may be all kinds of things that are happening. That does not negate the fact that God sent His Spirit into us so that we are His representatives everywhere we go, and we carry the glory of God with us. What we choose to let manifest is up to us, because God will not usurp our will. Come on, somebody. So, Scripture say the glory of the Lord. This was not just some announcement to make people happy. It was an announcement to change the course of history. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. This was not just a pre-incarnate Christ. This was not about the angels. This was about the manifest glory of God coming from heaven and placing himself on this earth, never to leave again. Isaiah prayed. He said, Lord, split the heavens and come down in your glory. This was the answer to that. This was the manifest glory of God, fulfilling prophecies. God's re-entry into the affairs of man, more than 400 years in waiting. It's a long time. I fear that the fear of God has left us. We forget the Creator of all the universe decided long before we were ever thought of, long before the earth was created, that He would redeem His creation. And He would redeem it with His own glory. The glory shone round them, the Scriptures say. Isaiah 60 and verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Isaiah, seeing into the future, said, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. This is the age that we're living in the glorious manifestation of a holy God to a people that are destined for hell without His redemptive plan. What shone on that night was never again to leave the earth. and it's in each one of us. The power and glory of God was a shield around them as it is in us. Now, as any human being would do, they were greatly afraid. Man was not prepared for this divine intervention. Many today are unaware that God is getting ready to speak again through the heirs of the kingdom. The plan for the culmination of history, my friend, is straight ahead for you and I. As I've often said, our suddenly is God's plan. Our suddenlies are God's plan. And I believe He's projecting His will on our lives today. I need to fear God once again. He's the giver of life and He takes it away. I need to fear God again. Matter of fact, my Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Then over in Proverbs 1, David's son said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I need the fear of God in my life again. I need to remember who I serve. He's just not a God. He's the God, the only God, the righteous judge of the earth, dwells in me and demands things from me as His child, as His heir. I need the fear of the Lord again. I need to understand what He died for. Instead of soliciting the earth, soliciting to me, the worldly kingdom soliciting to me to accept that which is not of God, I can't do it. I must, as a citizen of heaven, with good conscience, reject the things of the earth. My Bible says, if I love the things of the world, I hate the things of God. You can't dwell in both kingdoms. Come on, somebody. I need the fear of God again. We take so nonchalantly the presence of the Lord. But when the presence of the Lord comes, it comes to change mankind. Come on, somebody. The message that was delivered that night changed everything. From that point up until this very second, the story has been redemption of mankind and the rule of God's family. The redemption of man and the rule of the kingdom has been the message. An act of love that was unprecedented and far-reaching, it's in effect. But it's us that are carrying on that command that came from heaven. God went from a posture of strict allegiance to His law to the fulfillment of that law through that one child, Jesus Christ. And it all began with an announcement. As we get together with family this time of year, it's so hard. People say, well, gathering around the Christmas table, we're going to argue about politics. No, I don't think so. I think we ought to talk about the fascinating plan that God has for mankind. Yeah, I mentioned the birth of Christ, but talk about the amazing plan that He has for those who follow Him. How thankful are you for what God's done in your life? Come on, somebody. And continues to do. And how He has mercy. How many could say with me, if I was God, I would have struck me dead by now? Come on. God's mercy and grace and love and kindness has continually been poured out on our lives. And lest we spend it on ourselves, a wonderful time to manifest His glory to this generation. The instant message that was heard rings throughout all eternity. It's timeless in its content. We used to sing an old hymn, I love to tell this story. The old, old story of Jesus and His love. Simple in its message. It wasn't complicated. We've made it so complicated that people have to jump through all these hoops to be a good Christian. Just confess your sins and God will come and do the rest. Come on, somebody. Verse 11 in Luke 2 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That's no way to make a birth announcement. Can you imagine when you had your children, you say, "To the city of Rochester, a child has been born to you." No, it was born to you. Usually, it's father, mother, weight, length, sex, and time of birth. But this angel says, to you, this birth was personal to everyone that was born after that. Everyone has a personal Savior that is waiting for them to say, "Come and live in me." His power reaches even to 2019 and far beyond that. It reaches forward and backward. It reaches to the lowest depths and the highest height. Unto you, this day in the city of David has been born Christ the Lord. Come on, somebody. No one, Hebrews 4:13 says, no one is hidden from his sight. There's nobody going too far. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and I'll talk about it again just for a minute. We ought to stop the vitriol, hate, and pointing fingers of people that are still blind and deaf and dumb like we were. Come on. We're talking evil. I hear Christians talking evil against people on the other side of the political spectrum. Come on, somebody. How many know Jesus died for them? Jesus died for them. We need to love them. The announcement was made unto you. It didn't stipulate unto those who believe. Come on. Unto you, those that currently are unbelievers, Christ died for you. Here's the offer. The birth was personal to every human being ever born. In this day in the city of David, a Savior. Savior, Jesus means Savior. To make safe, to deliver, preserve, and to make alive. To cause to escape is another definition of that name, Savior. To confide in, to bring hope to. The word properly denotes such a Savior as perfectly frees us from evil and danger and is the author of perpetual salvation. The good news to each and every one that has breath in their bodies, Christ died for you. This was the announcement. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. Christ, Christos, the anointed. It's from the word chiro. It means to anoint. This name points out the Savior of the world and his prophetic regal office. As in ancient times, prophets and kings were anointed. This was the anointed king installed forever at the throne of grace. He's Christ, the anointed one. So when we celebrate him who sits at the right hand of power, who is forever making intercession for you and I, and awaiting the consummation of history so he can come for his bride. Come on, someone. There won't be any shepherds in the field then that he's going to appear to. It says that every eye. Come on, somebody. We wondered how that was going to happen. Every eye shall see him. You think it's an accident that everybody has? I was in India a few years ago, and India has people that can't even afford to eat, but they got a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. You'll see a guy on a motorcycle and his wife sitting behind him. She's holding a baby. He's got two on his lap and one's on his neck. And she's got a cell phone and he's got a cell phone. Every eye will see him. This is not going to be an announcement out in the dark. This announcement, when Christ comes for his bride, everyone's going to know it. And at that moment, it's going to be too late for somebody to say, you know, I've thought about it. Can I go now? Come on, someone. This is the time to tell people. This is the time to tell them that the Lord is coming again. The supreme eternal being, the ruler of the heavens and the earth, is coming back to culminate history. In fact, the Lord is Kyrios, and it means Yahweh, Most Holy One. It properly points out eternity and the self-existence of the supreme being, or the I Am. I exist is coming back for his people. Lordship of Christ must be considered in a spiritual sense. And the reason why I know that is he never set up a secular government. He never said, I'm going to set up a government and everybody's going to listen to me and pay taxes to me and do all that. Matter of fact, when he was questioned by Pilate, are you a king? He said, you say rightly I'm a king, but I'm a king of a kingdom that's not of this earth. That's the kingdom that you and I have been invited to be a part. And there's certainly no spiritual government but that of God. And indeed, the word Lord in the text appears to be properly understood to connect with Christ. How many know this baby that's born is now a prophet, a king, and he reveals his will to us? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, born in a stable, is now conducting from heaven this whole history that we're a part of that's coming to a close? And we get to speak to him on a daily basis. Don't ever take that nonchalantly. We get to talk to God. How many know God is talking with us? Amen. He doesn't do things in secret. He doesn't do things off in a corner. He's building his kingdom. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus is a prophet. He's also a priest. He offers up sacrifices and makes atonement for the sins of the world before the throne. Every moment he's praying for you and I. And he is Lord. He's not just a buddy. He's not just a savior. Thank God he saved me. But he's my Lord to rule over my soul. And his will is my will. And of course, he's a Savior. Deliver all from the power of guilt and sin and the pollution of the world. Come on, somebody. What a wonderful, wonderful message to this enslaved world, enslaved to sin. He sealed you and I. No matter what happens, we're headed for heaven. Come on, somebody. We'll see him face to face on that day. I don't know about you, but that just excites me. I keep saying, God, I can put up with anything as long as I see your face when it's all done. And if I had to be a prophet, which I'm not, I'd say times are going to get pretty tough going moving forward. Come on, somebody. Some of the things that we took for granted are going to be gone. Maybe sooner than we would like to. But they can't touch what's inside of me. He's my King and my Lord. I just read where, just yesterday I read news where people in, I forget where it was, in the Middle East somewhere, 20 missionaries that were indigenous missionaries to these villages were threatened by ISIS to renounce their faith and to come back to Islam. And they said no. They were in two villages, 10 in one village, 10 in another village. They were taken publicly out in front of everyone and questioned and that they would renounce. And they said no, they wouldn't renounce. And they had been warned 6 months prior. This happened like in August or September, so the beginning of this year, they were warned, either renounce or leave. They decided to stay and minister to those villages. So they were brought out in public and brutalized and beheaded in front of those two villages. And they had every opportunity to leave, but they said, I'm going to stay and tell people about the Lord that changed my life. Come on, somebody. See, we don't know that. We read that and we think, how terrible. These are people like you and I. Not anybody special. Things may change, but God never changes. Things may change, but the same announcement that was made on that night to those shepherds is the announcement that the world needs to hear. Unto you this day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. To seal those who believe, to receive us into an everlasting kingdom of His Father, and to make heirs of the kingdom eternally. These titles that were announced by the angel of the Lord are eternal ones. They're not tagged on because He came to this earth. What He was then, He will be eternally, and He always has been. From ages past to ages future, He's our Savior. He's Christ. He's the Lord. May many people receive Him. Many people receive Him. And the thing that lives, that keeps us going is the realization that we are part of that kingdom. We're tools in the hand of Almighty God. He wants to use us. I wonder how He'll use us in the coming months. Come on, somebody. We're in the book of Ephesians now, which we'll get back to, I promise. But it's that whole book is telling us what our responsibilities are now as believers. Because God has opened up heaven to us. And He came to live in us. Come on, someone. Came to live in you and me. He's going to use us in a powerful way. So my prayer for all of us this season, as in every Christmas season, is that we get a chance to manifest His glory to those that we love so much. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for what You're doing. Thank You, Lord. Your plan from the beginning was to do exactly what You're doing, using men and women like us to spread Your word. God, in Your wisdom, You came to people that were unknown by many people, but Father, could not shut up about what they'd seen, and what they'd known, and what they heard, and what they touched. I remember, Lord, Your disciples said, we can't but not talk about He who touched us. And John, the apostle, said, we touched, we talked, we ate, we slept with this man. The man, Christ Jesus, who is now King and King, King of kings and Lord of lords, who lives in us. God, would You manifest Your glory once again through us? Lord, may we each have an encounter with You over these holidays, God, that we remember the great responsibility we have to tell people about Your love and Your mercy. God, we thank You. We ask that You keep everybody safe during these holidays, God. May we be those that bring glory to Your name. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.